Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Back to from their trip. So it's great to have people going away, and it's even better you coming back. Cool. Well, what we're going to do is we're just going to hand out some just a page of notes for you to take away. And as you'll see, it's some of God's promises for you. Based on the message from last week, if you weren't here, then encourage you to have a listen to the podcast. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on it today because I think there were some things that I didn't get to really flesh out as much as I would like. And for me last week, the message was, sort of speaking very much out of, one of my personal passions and loves, and that's the topic of faith and how pivotal and crucial it is, because God operates in the realm and responds to faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So before we get into the message, I was just reading during the week in my devotional time that Artie and I do reading together in our accountability group, and at the moment we're going through 1 Thessalonians. And I just read this verse, particularly, it's not directly attached and wasn't part of my message, but I pray it's an encouragement to some people here this morning. And so Paul, Silas, Timothy, writing to the church in Thessalonica, we always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Good reminder for us to be praying for one another. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. That is, your work produced by faith. Faith without works is dead. So the faith and relationship we had with God should just naturally inspire and motivate us to good works. And then your labor prompted by love. Everything that we do should be motivated out of a heart of love. And finally, it's our endurance inspired by hope, is that we have this blessed hope, not just the promise of eternal life with God, but eternity for us starts on earth, here, with God, in our relationship with him, because he desires for life and life to the full for us. He wants us to live abundant life. And as we were worshiping this morning, I felt just challenged. It's people here that you maybe are assessing and evaluating your life, and you're starting to evaluate success by worldly measures, and you feel as though you're not accomplishing much, or you don't feel like you're getting much done, and different things like that. But I want to encourage you, keep going back to the Word of God, and what does God say about success, and how does God define success? As we know, the first will come last, the last will come first. It's an upside down, it's a different order when it comes to kingdom principles. So very much when your heart is fully after the things of God, stuff may not be going or looking like it's a success, but yet in God's economy, in God's kingdom, it's very much right on where you are. And so there are people here this morning, don't gauge success by what the world tells you should be success, but I want to encourage you, and I believe a word from God this morning is that you're on the right track. Just stay the course, hold fast, because what you're doing is lined up with God's word and desire and idea and definition of what success is. So be encouraged this morning. Because it's so easy to get discouraged by looking around what the world tells us that we should have. But I know at this time of year, we see it in church life, but I know we also see it in work life, and we see it in different areas of involvement we have, is that around this time of year, sometimes people can get a bit tired and a bit weary, and we're bracing ourselves for the manic rush towards the end of the year, and there's going to be crazy times ahead, and we're going, oh my goodness, I've just got to get through this little bit, and we just feel a bit tired and weary. And so I pray that that verse out of Thessalonians would be an encouragement to you, and that you would not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary. And if you need to, take some practical steps on just making sure you look after yourself. Don't get run down. Don't run yourself into the ground. One of the things that how tall is Troy Webster? It's like, I can walk under that microphone. Oh my goodness. But you need to, as a church, we like to make sure that people aren't overcommitted, over-involved. And so there are times when we tell people to just take a bit of a break and pull back a bit. But we just really want to, I guess it was just a bit of an encouragement this morning, is that, again, if there's things you need to do in your personal world just to stay fresh, not get run down and not get sick and all that sort of stuff, we're called to be wise stewards and look after what God's given us. Make sense? All right, nothing to do with the message. So let's get back to it because I just want to recap. And last week we started talking about, prior to that, we were talking about Compass Church being home. And that's one of the bits of feedback we get is that it just feels like home. It's that, you know, it's not about the razzle dazzle. It's not about the production. It's just about being family. And it's great that I can come and I feel comfortable standing before you guys and not having to pretend or put up a facade that I've got all my stuff together. And that I can come and I can be honest about that. And just like we need to be honest with one another about our stuff and our struggles and the things that we're wrestling with and the stuff that we're questioning. And if you aren't questioning certain areas of your life, what's wrong with you? It's like, you know, I think that, in life just throws curveballs and nothing hits harder than life. But I think, you know, if we can just have that place where Compass can be home, and of course in a home there's a family, and one of the key things that we're called to be as a family and to be known as a family is not just our sporting prowess, it's not just our musical prowess, it's not just the fact that we have good coffee and all that sort of stuff. Over and above all of that, I pray that we would be known for our faith, for our undying, uncompromising faith and trust in God. In fact, just to go down out of 1 Thessalonians, it's not related, but just take this, is that the faith of the Thessalonians became a model to all, to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, not only actually in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Their faith in God had become known everywhere. And so if I would want Compass Church to be known for something, I would want it to be known because we've got big people in God who have just this undying, unwavering faith in God. And so, yep, sure, you know what, if in time that the guys write songs and they produce CDs and stuff, fantastic, that's great. And we'll celebrate that. You know, in our kids' ministry, which, you know, is growing and expanding, and we're just in the process, actually, of needing to create two programs, because if you throw a prep in with a grade 5 and 6, very different learning stages of development. You with me? For those who've had kids, maybe it was a long time ago, or maybe not yet, but the reality is, very difficult to teach a prep and a grade 5, 6 in the same class. So what we're looking to do is to have the kids all go out together, but then they break into two groups so we can have more specific programs for our older primary school and the younger ones. And so, that's just a step of faith for us because we don't have the workers. Yes, we do. Because God's given us everything we need. He's given us everything, and you're it. And so you may not be a teacher or things, but it does require that you actually love kids. All right? If you don't like kids, don't do it. All right? But you will need a working with children's check. You will need to go on a roster. And for some of you, it sounds like I just swore at you and said the word roster. But we need rosters so things can function. And, you know, sometimes, if I can just be honest, it really annoys me how people treat the church to a lesser degree and standard to what they treat their workplace. And, like, we're on a roster, but either I just don't turn up or I don't replace myself and we don't follow through on our commitments. Let our yes be yes and let our no be no. But don't just kind of stuff people around and that. So that goes for any department. But if you're going to get on this kids roster, we will bust your chops because our kids are way too important to get stuffed around. And so we are shaping and we are developing and we're forming in them their view of who God is and what a relationship with God looks like. And that is way too important for us to play with. And so we take this responsibility super serious. And so we believe we're at that point where we need to get two programs running. So if you are interested or would like to know more, can you please see Kim Sharman-Smith? She can't stand up because she's with the kids, obviously. But if you could go on, if you don't know who Kim is, come and ask me, or you can ask any one of the leaders and we'll point Kim out to you. But this is something that we really need to get going before the end of the year, because at the moment they can have up to 26 to 30 kids in there. And I just think, you know, we've just got to be providing the very best for our kids. Everyone agree?
Yes.
Great. I see all those hands. See Kim afterwards. Great. All right. All right. So we can talk about faith and whatnot. And so last week we just talked about the Bible tells us that to have faith in God and that the just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the great thing about God, he doesn't ask us to use something that he hasn't given us. And so no matter wherever you find yourself right now, you have to trust that God's given you everything you need and has equipped you for the task that you are currently involved in. You may not realize that, but he's put it within you and he's put the resources around you, whether it's work, whether it's school, whether it's uni. God has placed you there for a very good reason. You may feel ill-equipped, but he's given you everything. 2 Peter 1:3 tells me. He's already done it. He's given you everything you need. So God has given everyone a measure of faith. Every single person in this room is born with a measure of faith. And it's with that little bit, maybe just a tiny bit, that we're called to draw upon to start that relationship and say hello to God and then begin our relationship with God. So he's given everybody a measure of faith. Now I need to qualify that is different to the gift of faith that God speaks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The gift of faith, as with the other gifts, as the Spirit wills and pleases, he will come and he will deposit upon somebody or within somebody an extraordinary bigness of the gift of faith. So there are people that have that ability to believe for just crazy stuff. You know, you just go, oh my goodness, how can you believe for that? And they are just like, no, God said. It's just the way it is. And they just operate and function out of that gift. And the great thing about our faith, we talked about this, touched on it, is that our faith, we can switch it on. We can choose to switch on our faith and we can choose whether we want to grow it or not. So we can actually activate that faith in God and we can choose to trust in God or we can choose not to and we can actually grow it. So I think that's really encouraging. Then we started to move into one of the key points last week was that faith is something that speaks. We looked at different aspects of faith, but one of the things that we really touched on last week, and I'm going to elaborate a little bit more today, is that faith speaks. So what we talked about was that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 12:34 tells us that out of the abundance of what's in the heart, the mouth will speak. So what comes out of your mouth is what your heart is full of. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. Are you full of it? Faith. Are you full of it? Are you full of it? And then the question was, how do we grow our faith? How do we fill our hearts with faith? Well, Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So there's that reminder again that we're called to actually absorb ourselves and drench ourselves and soak up the Word of God so that the confession of our mouth is based out of the beliefs that are in our heart, that the two come into alignment, and there's a great power that comes with that. And so what comes first is that the faith comes first and then we begin to speak it. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So what we're called to do is to read out loud the Word of God or to hear the Word of God being read out in our devotional times, to get one of those speaking Bibles. You can get plenty of apps for that now that are all free. There are no excuses for us not to be listening to the Word of God. And so it's not in the good times that we need that faith. It's when things are going bad that we need faith to trust God that things will work out okay. But that's the hardest time to actually activate our faith, when things are going hard. And so what we should do when things are going well is do all that we can to just keep layering and laying and more of the Word of God in our hearts, so that when the hard times come, I can draw out of what's been deposited in my heart and I can begin to speak to the situation. And at times that will mean that we can speak that which is not, as if it were. So even though circumstances and the natural surroundings tell me this, the confession of my faith is going to be, no. Yes, I may be facing lack, but my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So I begin to speak that out, but There's an interesting thing here that we're called to line up the belief that's in our heart and the confession of our mouth. Now, this is not as easy as you might think. And sometimes there can be a little bit of a disconnect, and we'll come to that in just a minute. But this verse came throughout the week in terms of the power of speaking out and the need for us as Christians and people of faith to speak it out. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So that's just a little bit of a quick insight into some of what we spoke about last week. Are we there yet? 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'm reading out of the NIV. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have the same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. So reiterating that point that an aspect of our faith is that faith speaks. It's a choice that we can make. I love the fact that the devil doesn't know what I'm thinking. He will plant seeds and things, but I can tell him what I'm thinking. And I can speak the word of God into a situation and just let him know who's boss. And that he's not going to mess with my family. He's not going to mess with our church. He's not going to mess with my relationships and my friends and their marriages and their businesses and things. No, I'm just letting him know that my God is greater. If God is for me, who can be against me? And so we have this this reminder here in 2 Corinthians 4 that faith is something that speaks. I mean, Voltaire said, you know, I think, therefore I am. And whereas Christians, we should say, I believe, therefore I speak. You know, this verse is powerful because it actually comes out of the Psalms. It's like, I believe, therefore we speak. It actually relates to David being confronting Goliath. And who remembers what David's confession of faith was when he stood before Goliath? He said, you might come at me with, spear and sword, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And dude, you're going down. And so there is this great power when David's belief in his heart is spoken out into the atmosphere, and that which is not became reality. And David, obviously we know, takes Goliath out. And there's this massive connection between what we believe in our heart and what we speak with our mouth. And why do we believe? I was thinking about this. Maybe sometimes we believe because of someone's reputation or something's reputation. Now, I've got to go to Adelaide this afternoon for my niece's engagement party, which is great. Now, and I'm flying Qantas. And I've got to have faith in Qantas. I've got to believe. I've got to have faith. Why would I fly Qantas and whatever? Not just because they were cheapest, but like, not at all. But why would I believe in Qantas and jump on a plane on a metal structure that's going to go thousands of feet in the air? I'm not even going to get, I've got to have faith in the pilot. I don't ever get to see him, and I'm trusting he didn't cheat during his exams and didn't pay his way through and whatever. I've got to have faith. I'm not going to see him, but I've got to have faith in him. But I choose to fly with Qantas because they've got a reputation of excellence and service and their issues of accidents, etc. like that are negligible, which is always a good thing when you're flying. But, you know, maybe we base our belief on somebody's reputation or from what we've heard, maybe it's because of our own study and research that we believe, that we have faith. We read about them, but we still don't really know them, but we choose to believe in them anyway. I choose to fly with Qantas and trust them and have faith in the pilot and them as a company. And then maybe I believe and I have faith because of my own experience of what I see, what I hear, what I've been through, what I've felt when I've flown with them, things like that. That I've flown with them before, I feel safe and it went well and there was relatively good customer service and then they're going to get me to my destination, so therefore I will go with them again. And maybe you can come up with your own list of why we believe what we do, but this whole thing about believing is imperative. And where do we draw our belief and our faith? And it comes by hearing of the word of God. And I really want to emphasize the utter need for us to keep going back to the word of God. As Sarah said this morning, and I'm glad Sarah's got it, and she's been coming to Compass for some time, is that we want you to be a thinker and a believer for yourself and not living off secondhand revelation. Not just living, yes, I've got to come and I've got to present a word, and I believe that's part of what we're called to do as a community. But you also have to take your own personal responsibility for building and developing your own personal faith and belief and trust in God. Because the reality is, there will be some point where I will let you down. Won't be intentional, but at some point I will. And I don't want to do that, but if I do, it's like, well, but yet, we need to understand that we have this God that will never leave, never forsake us. He will never let us down. And that's got to come from your own revelation and own understanding of who God is. And so just getting back to this whole thing about speaking and out of the heart, the mouth speaks. We speak out of a believing heart based on the word of God. So what our confession of faith? It's so as I begin to read the word of God, I begin to understand more and more of who God is. and I allow His Holy Spirit to bring revelation into my life, and He transforms me more and more into the image and likeness of who God is and who Christ is. And that is the objective of our faith, is not the pursuit of happiness. We're given this inexpressible joy, as Sarah said, which is something that is greater and bigger than actually happiness itself. But we have this journey, this opportunity to come to know Christ and be transformed into His likeness as we read His word. And so when I begin to pray and when I begin to speak things out, it's more about coming out of my understanding of who God is and that He's transformed me into Christ than it is about me trying to twist God's arm into getting Him to do what I want Him to do. Does that make sense? And so that's one of the objectives of prayer, is not for me to come and try and convince God, but I come into prayer before God to say, God, change me so that my thoughts, my will, my attitudes are aligned with yours, so that what I begin to speak actually lines up with what you want anyway. So therefore, I can actually say that whatever I pray in His name, it will be done. Because I'm not praying according to my will, I'm praying according to my transformed will, according to the word of God. Does that make sense? And so that's why you can read those verses. You can say, anything that I pray in His name, it will be done. Now, that's a pretty amazing kind of scripture to read, isn't it? But we've got to understand that the confession of our mouth has to line up with the belief in our heart. And the belief in our heart has to be grounded and founded in the Word of God. Are you with me? Okay, good. So it's important for us to deposit the Word of God and allow it to transform our lives so we truly shift into the realm of speaking and believing with conviction and passion, and then we see mighty answers to prayer in our lives. This actual devotion came out during the week after last week's message that we started with this, and I just found the timing of it was unbelievable, and Colleen sent this to me, but I would love to just read it to you for just a second. Every believer has, and that's on the 2 Corinthians verse that we read just before, every believer has been given a measure of faith. In order to see the promises of God come to pass in your life, you have to give your faith a voice. You must declare what God says about you in His word. Those seeds of faith inside you are activated when you speak them out into the atmosphere. That's why the scripture tells us, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. When you give your faith a voice, you send forth the word of God, and the Bible says that He watches over His word to bring it to pass in your life. So God is true and faithful to His word. If you speak the word of God over your circumstance and over your situation, you can have that assurance that God's blessing is upon that spoken word, because it's His word, not your word. Does that make sense? I mean, how powerful is that? Now, I mean, it's careful, because we can't kind of like slip into the Anthony Robbins inner power and, you know, if I speak it out, it'll come into being. No, we're talking about speaking out according to the Word of God and lining up with the Word of God. And so when it lines up with His principles and His kingdom principles for His kingdom to be extended here on earth, then wow, we've got all of heaven backing that up. But the challenge here is for us to truly believe it in our heart, so that the confession with our mouth lines up with the belief in our heart. And so how do we consolidate our belief in our heart? Maybe it's by reputation from what you hear, stirring stories of faith. Maybe it's your own kind of study and research, and reading the Word of God will stir up faith and increase your belief and trust in God. Maybe it's because of your own experience with God, those things that I've mentioned before, that you would actually put those things into action. It goes on to say, the key is not to allow words of defeat or negativity to come out of your mouth. Don't dig up your seed by speaking against His word. Instead, water your seed by continuing to declare the word of God. When you wake up every morning, thank Him for His promises that are coming to pass in your life. As you do, you will see those things come to pass, and you will live the life of victory God has prepared for you. So even when circumstance is against you, you can speak the word of God into that, contrary to circumstance, and claim victory in your circumstance. You can speak the spoken word. So what you've got with you is a bunch of promises that you can speak over your own life. Now, these aren't promises that are associated to financial blessing and different things. There may be a few references in there. But predominantly, these promises here is how God sees you and how he views you and your understanding of who you are in Christ. Because I believe it's important that we get that right first and we truly understand what the Word of God says about us. Because I'm not sure if I put it up here. Next slide. Faith speaks. But we talked out of James, and we talked about a man who looks at a mirror, remember, looks at himself, but then walks away and forgets who he is. And what is the mirror when it comes to our faith? The mirror is the Word of God. And so many of us, we can look into the Word of God, and we can come to church, and we can go to life group, and we can be fired up and inspired, and yep, I'm feeling great, and God's with me, and he's for me. But then we leave, and we go away, and it's like we forget what we were looking at in the perfect mirror. And so therefore we begin to doubt, we begin to question, and we begin to kind of go, hang on a sec, I'm actually defeated. I'm the tail, I'm not the head, I'm a loser, I'm not a conqueror. And we forget. But we need to keep coming back to the Word of God, be reminded of who you are in Christ, how he sees you, how he views you, that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians 2 tells me. So therefore you are elevated above the principalities and the realms, spiritual realms, that there is no circumstance or situation that is bigger than you, because our God is bigger and he's actually already placed you above those things. It's that understanding of how much God loves you and cherishes you, that he's your heavenly Father and that he desires the best for your life. And he wants to carry you, wants to walk with you, and he's committed to you, he's devoted to you every step of the way. It's that carrying with you that understanding of who you are in God and who Christ has made you to be. Are you with me?
Yeah.
All right. It's not rocket science. But I think it is one of those things that we don't do enough. So when we start to shift into confessing what we believe in our hearts, big things will begin to happen. You know, one of my favorite heroes in Scripture, if you've got your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 4. I don't know about you, but I've got a couple of things in my life right now that they're kind of like some big things that are kind of tough things that kind of like need God's breakthrough in the situation. Is anyone else like that? You've just got some stuff where, yep, cool. Okay, well, I pray that you would take encouragement out of this. Romans chapter 4, one of my favorite heroes of faith is Abraham. And this is one of the reasons why. Verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him. So God's word to Abraham was that he was going to be the father of many nations, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. And so that was God's word to him. That's what he held on to, but yet the circumstances didn't look good, because without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old. Now, he was still waiting for a son. He had the promise. The word of the Lord was that he was going to have a son. And I love the fact here, I think this is a great balancer in everything that I'm saying here, is that he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. See, faith doesn't ignore the facts. Faith actually looks at things objectively and just goes, this looks impossible. Let's just call it for what it is. This situation's hopeless. But who knows that when I am weak, he is strong. That the bigger the problem and the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the opportunity for God to come in and do something great and significant if we're willing to allow him room to move in our situation. I love that about our God. So Abraham here acknowledges, so faith doesn't try to ignore the reality or the facts that we're confronted with. Whether it's a sickness, whether it's a financial challenge, whether it's just a breakthrough that we need, whether it's a work situation in need of work or an opportunity for promotion, or whether it's like relationally, whether it's a family situation or whatever it might be. It's a matter of just God's okay with us actually saying, this is crap. This is not what it's meant to be. This thing's broken. God's okay with that. People, God can handle it. Just thought I'd let you know. He's got big shoulders. He can handle it. And so Abraham does that and he faced the facts. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Fully persuaded. Fully persuaded that God had power. I believe the ability to be fully persuaded comes out of the consolidation of God's word in the good times, so that when the tough times come, you know what? All around me is sinking sand, but you know what? It's on Christ the solid rock I stand. You know what? Yeah, I may be sick, but by his stripes, I am healed in Jesus' name. I don't feel it. And I've made a determined decision in my life. Whenever I feel sick, I'm one of those guys that doesn't whinge or complain. Even if I've got the man flu, I'm not Suki Lala. I'm not a wuss. I just go really, really quiet when I'm sick. Nat hates it. She goes, you know, are you sick? I'm like, yeah, I'm sick. I'm quiet. Whatever. Just leave me alone. I'm fine. Just let me process this. And it's like, you know, I get in these situations where that, you know, if there's a sickness or I'm injured and I get frustrated because I can't train or I can't run or whatever, I've made that intentional decision in my life that regardless of what I'm faced with, I will thank God for the situation. I will praise God in all, consider it pure joy. Pure joy that I did my hammy this week. Yes, thank you, Jesus. And I can't run. I've got to sit on a bike and whatever. It's just to stay fit. But I thank you, Jesus, for that. Upon the confession of my faith, but being fully persuaded that God has the power. So right now, if things are going well for you, that's unreal, but a storm's coming. Thanks, Pastor Phil. Speaking that into my life, I rebuke that in Jesus. No, just get real. That is life. It's life. If you think you're going to live on the mountaintop for the rest of your life without a problem, you're kidding yourself. It's not reality. So my question to you is, if things are going well, what are you feeding and what are you building and what are you speaking into your life? What are you speaking into your future? What are you speaking into your family? Because when the tough times come, we kind of have less space for that, and it's more about holding on to God's promises and word just to get us through this situation that we're confronted with. So yeah, I can stand and say, yeah, here's my rock and my fortress, but when the stuff hits the fan, what's my response? What is my response to that? Faith speaks. I'm going to finish off with this, and this is a little bit of a tangent. But this is why I wholeheartedly believe in the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and world, and I believe in the power of speaking in tongues by faith and trusting God to move in that situation. Just a little bit of background in terms of, like, you know, this whole thing about speaking. In Genesis 11, and I am going off on a tangent here, but when I was praying, I was trying to work out, I felt I have to say this stuff, and it's only going to take about 8 minutes. And as I'm praying about this next little bit that we're going to go through, I'm trying to work out, how do I get a really cool segue from that last bit into this? How do I make all this link and connect? Well, I don't have anything, and all it is just going to be what it is. And it is related to speaking, so just bear with me. So in Genesis 11, 6 to 8, we've got the story of the Tower of Babel. Everyone was speaking one language. And because man had come down and man was trying to extend his own kingdom, God comes down and he says this to them in verse 6. If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. And so that's where you have the diversity and the beginning of different languages and cultural groups, etc., in the world, is out of this situation in Genesis chapter 11. Now, if you flip that in reverse, if we as a church are all speaking the same language and all heading in the same direction, I believe the same hold true, that there will be nothing that is impossible for us. Because you are an extraordinary people. You are an amazing bunch of people. Some of you are starting to smile now. Is that what it takes, that I have to pump up your tires to get you to smile? Flattery will get me everywhere, obviously, here. But no, seriously, we are an extraordinary people. God has chosen us to be in this community to make a difference, to be light, to show his love and care to people, to this lost and dying world. You're an amazing bunch of people. And so as we begin to come together in a common heart and vision, there will be nothing that's impossible for us. But because our desire is to extend the kingdom of God, not the kingdom and the empire of Compass Church, we're here about extending the kingdom of God.
But yet these people wanting to extend their own kingdom and become greater than God. And so God comes down and goes, hang on a minute, this is not what it's about. And so they get spread out. Let's fast track several thousand years and we come to Acts 1 and 2 on the day of Pentecost. And we see that the Holy Spirit is poured out and you shall receive power from on high. So the Holy Spirit comes upon you so that you can be my witnesses to the uttermost parts of the world. And one of the manifestations of that was the speaking in tongues. And we see here, and we find out, like in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, if I speak in the tongue of angels and of men, but have not love, I'm just a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. So it's again, in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 to 4, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So here we're just talking about two different ways that we can speak by faith. Both require faith to speak. We speak in tongues or we speak in prophecy. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Both forms of speaking prophetically into a situation. And each one of us are called to desire the gift of prophecy. It's not just for pastors or leaders, it's for all of us. You can prophesy, you can speak into the situation. You know what? It may not look like or sound like the old school, thus verily the Lord would saith unto thee, that you shouldeth doeth thiseth and thatteth. It may not sound like that. When I talk about prophesying, it's about talking and speaking the word of God into the situation. It's about speaking life into the situation. It's about speaking that which is not, as if it were, according to how it lines up and as long as it lines up to the principles in God's word. Are you with me? So you can do that. You can prophesy into your work situation. You can speak into your family situation. You can speak into your health. You can speak into, you know, somebody coming to Christ, that you would claim them for Christ and you would speak. You know, those who are not following Christ and they're not following Christ yet, I speak into that and I pray, Father, you'd take the scales off their eyes. You would open their ears so the truth, and they would experience the truth, and that truth would set them free. And for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been listening to my neighbor across the road playing the drums. And this sounds ridiculous because you can't do it, but I always try to actually work out what song is he playing to on his headphones as trying to pick by the beat. Almost impossible to do. But like, you know, I'm mowing the lawns, I'm going, God, you know, I claim that family across the road for you. Father, I just know this family needs you, Jesus. I'm going, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to connect with this kid. He's a twin, he's 19, and we'd always say good day and stuff like that. And just going, God, how do I connect? And then his mum comes over, and as I'm, you know, spending 3 or 4 years, so maybe it's my lack of faith. I'm sorry, stuff probably happens quicker for you than me, but it's taken 4 years. And I'm going, God, you know, and then the mum comes over and goes, Phil, you know, do you have anyone that can, like, knows anything about music? Son's a drummer, and he wants to, you know, sort of find out what's happening in the Melbourne music scene. So just to embarrass Andrew right now, I thought straight away, I said, Andrew, and I thought of a couple of other guys in the room as well that are connected to the music sound. I said, well, maybe Andrew can tell the guy what to stay away from and stuff. So we caught up. And then on Wednesday night when we had our worship practice, I rocked up to catch up with the guys and my neighbor walks up. I'm going, dude, what are you doing here? He's like, oh man, like Andrew invited me to come. And I'm just going, how cool is that? And it looked impossible. Here I am mowing the lawns and I'm listening to this snot-nosed kid just like trying to play drums, and he's getting better. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, we need a drummer at church, and we've got some drummers, but we need our own drummers. And I'm thinking, but he doesn't know Jesus yet. And like, you know, what do we do with somebody that doesn't know Jesus? Do we let him play in the worship band and stuff? Anyway, this is stuff that goes on inside my head, all right? You don't need to worry about it. This is my own little journey. So, and I'm just going, God, you know what? If this is how this kid comes to know Jesus through hanging out with our worship team, how cool is that? But I began to speak it out. That family will come to know Jesus Christ. They're going to be passionate lovers and worshipers of Jesus Christ. And I just began to speak some specific things out, stuff I saw, and I spoke against it, and I spoke into the situation. And I thank God for that. I don't say that to boast in anything. It's more Andrew than it is me anyway. So, mate, I thank you for just being sensitive and open to what God wanted to do and inviting a kid to a music practice. Who knows where it's going to lead? But all we can do is provide the opportunity. And I just love that. So, you know, like, sorry, getting back to this whole thing, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, people began to speak in other tongues. So that which was actually put in place in Genesis 11 to scatter people abroad because they were trying to build up their own kingdom, God pours out the Holy Spirit and gives us this heavenly prayer language so that we can all begin to speak in one language again, one heavenly spiritual language again, to unite the church, to unite his bride, provided our heart's intention and motivation is for the extension of the kingdom of God. So I love back there, it was division because of that, but now there is this sense of unity. And that's what I believe one of the benefits of speaking in tongues is. There's this heavenly prayer language that God has given us as his people that we can all begin to speak in one language. Now, I don't know where you sit with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, and that's okay. And it's a journey. And maybe it's something that you need to ask about or explore. And we do that in Alpha. The Alpha course covers off the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So I believe the opportunity for every believer to be filled with this Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit, but the baptism in the Holy Spirit is, I love Nikki Gumbel's definition of it. It's like, you know, when you accept Christ as Lord of your life, you're like a heater, a gas heater that's just got the pilot light on. It's just always flickering away. The Holy Spirit is always there. We accept the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit into our lives. So the Holy Spirit is there. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is like turning that bad boy up to full, and it's just that big, the big. And it's like, you know, the Holy Spirit comes and his power is released in our life in a greater measure and portion. And Ephesians 5 tells us, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is like a one-off, but there is constant fillings because we are human. And just like our faith can weaken and diminish, so can our relationship and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So God wants to continually keep filling us and keep filling us. It's in the present tense to keep be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe one of the manifestations of that is speaking in tongues. And I believe there's a great power in that, as we've just heard here in 1 Corinthians 14. It's he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. As you begin to speak in tongues by faith, it's an activation, and it's putting your faith in action because it doesn't make sense intellectually. Mulyadi gave me a study that they did about mind mapping, and they had like the EEG, the electrodes and everything, just mapping somebody in normal conversation, and it lit up the areas of the brain due to the motor, the muscles, etc., that were required to talk, the process of thinking, but then also the neural pathways for the actual mouth to move and the vocal cords and for us to actually make the sound. And so they mapped an individual when they were talking, but then they mapped them when they're actually speaking in tongues. And what they found in this study was that the areas that were lit up when somebody was talking were not lit up to the same degree when they were actually speaking in tongues. Which is, they were saying, look, they said we can't give a specific reason, scientific reason for this, but it's telling us here that our mind is unfruitful. I mean, the Bible had already done this study and God had put this in Scripture nearly 2,000 years ago, and now they're finally catching on to it. But this is a supernatural phenomena of speaking in tongues that occurs, that we speak in this heavenly prayer language, and yes, it edifies, it builds up. And it stirs something in your life and in your heart. And so if it's not something that you've experienced, I just encourage you to be open and say, God, if this is something that you desire for my life, then yes, Lord, it is something that I want for my life. Because whatever God's got for me, number one, is good. We agree? So if we're asking for bread, he's not going to give us a stone or a snake. And so, God, if this is something you desire for my life, then I'm open for it. And so, you know what, we're talking about out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So out of my heart, my beliefs and my faith. You know, sometimes as we say, it's not just about believing something new, but sometimes it's about unlearning. Unlearning certain things so I can actually position myself to learn what it is that God really desires for my life and not what maybe man has interpreted God wants for my life. So take it up yourself. I've done my part now. It's up to you. Take it or leave it. That's all I can do is provide you with the opportunity to do that. And so this morning, that last little bit, I really don't know why the Lord wanted me to share that, but I know it's for somebody. Because I haven't spoken about speaking in tongues or the power of speaking in tongues for quite a while. I'm just going, Lord, I don't really know how it's even connected. I know it's about speaking and it's different, but anyway, we're just going to trust that with the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Just thank you for your faithfulness. Lord God, you know, guys, I just want us just to wait on the Lord for just a minute. Actually, Tim, could I get you to come and just get you just to play keys? I'm just sense that God's wanting to do something. There are people that you put your hands up earlier along with me just saying there are some things that you really need God to move in. And I just encourage you this week, just daily, just begin to speak to that mountain to be moved in Jesus' name. Speak to that giant. That giant might come against you with all sorts of financial stresses and threats. That giant might come towards you with all kind of relational threats, health threats. But this week, you're going to let that giant know who's boss. This week, you're going to speak to that thing specifically. It may not be tangible, but spiritually, it's starting to take space in your world that it has no right to be there. I'm just going to encourage you this week, just daily, just begin to speak to it. Just get into God's word. Just start to stand upon his promises that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. The enemy is a defeated foe. Jesus made a public spectacle of him openly, triumphing over him. The enemy is defeated. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remember, our confidence comes from God, not an overinflated opinion of ourselves and our own strength and abilities. That's arrogance. But we stand in confidence in our God because we know our God and we know who our God has made us to be. He's made us to be more than conquerors in and through Christ. Not us, but through Christ. And we can do all things through Christ. It's through Christ who strengthens us. My God shall supply all of my needs. I can't, but my God shall supply all of my needs. Let's be reminded this morning, our confidence comes not from just ourselves. It comes from us knowing who our God is and what he's capable of doing. That's where our confidence comes from, church. That's the reason why Compass Church will flourish and grow. That's why Compass Church will continue to impact this community and be a massive influence in this community. That's why Compass Church will come a place that will become a place that people can come to because they know this is where they can get help. Don't have to have all your stuff together before you come. It's a place where you can be healed and restored and made whole, loved unconditionally, not judged. A place where the prodigals will come home. People that have not been in church for a long time, those that have been burnt, maybe let down, disappointed, can come back, come running back to Jesus, fall in love with him all over again. Holy Spirit, we honor your presence in this room. Lord God, I know you respond to our faith. You respond to our expectancy. So as we're waiting on God, church, what are you expecting right now? Are you just hoping that I just wrap this up quick so you can get out of here? And that's okay. So just to make this really, really easy, we'll close the service right now, but I just think for a few moments longer, God's not done yet. I'm so desperate to see God move. I don't want it just to be good music and speaking. It's got to be by a manifestation of his power and presence in this place. There are people in this room, you need a touch from heaven. You need God to move in your world. You need a healing touch. You need a financial breakthrough. God's hand is not short that it cannot heal. We speak healing into this place right now. Lord God, right now I pray. I stand against every thought of doubt and unbelief in this place. That we declare, Overcomers Church, that our God heals, that our God saves. That right now, you're going to release your healing power in this place, Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, be released to come and glorify Jesus in this place. Lord God, we pray. Just heal. Heal the brokenhearted. Come and do what it is you said you would do. Heal the brokenhearted. Set people free in this place. You have not created us to be bound up and restricted. Lord God, we just pray that you would break the shackles, you would break the chains in this place this morning. That, Lord God, I pray that you would pierce attitudes, Lord God, negative attitudes, Father God. I pray, Father God, you would break off failure, fear of the past, Lord God. Pray you would break off guilt and shame in this place. There is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We speak liberty into this church right now. We speak of freedom in Jesus' name, that Holy Spirit, you would come. You would set all of us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. You know, Artie, I was catching up with Artie as I do each week. And Artie said something to me, and I've been wrestling with this. He goes, you know, some people just go, I don't handle change well. Or, you know, and I even have, and if you've ever said this to me, it's not directed at you. But this just bugs the heck out of me when people say to me, it's just who I am. I just go, wow, you're saying that God can't change that area of your life. So you're limiting God's power in your life because you want to hold on to your attitude or your negativity. I can't stand being around negative people for too long, especially people that just go, it's just the way I am. But when we allow God's transformational power into our life, guess what that's going to mean? Change. You cannot be a Christian and reject change. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. You can be a Christian and reject change, but you're not going to live in the fullness of what God's got for you. Because to become more like Jesus means that, Phil, you've got to lose that attitude. But I like that attitude. I'm right. No, you're not right, Phil. Let it go. Phil, what just came out of your mouth wasn't right. You've got to stop speaking like that. Okay, Lord, I'm open for change. I want to work through that. I want to change that in my life. Where did that come from? What belief did that come from? So this morning, I dare you to be open for change. I dare you to just be open to say, God, whatever it is you want to do in my life. It's almost like, you know, I kind of got this excited sense about what's going on right now because I kind of like, I'm almost going to step back into it's kind of like a youth camp preacher mode for a sec, because it's almost like that reckless abandon that comes over me when I stand in youth camps and that, because I just have, there's just young people that are just want to go crazy for Jesus. I think as we get older, we just get so stuffy and so conservative and so, man, just let it all go. Just get unstuffy and just go, whatever it is, God, you want for me, that's what I want. I just want to be madly, deeply passionate in love with Jesus Christ. There's no better place to be than in His presence. Father, we love you this morning. Lord God, I trust that you're just leading my words right now, that you are wanting to challenge us, you're wanting to encourage us. I believe some of you in this room right now, you're being reminded of maybe some earlier years where you were really on fire for Jesus. But you've pulled back. You've just gone, well, I've got a bit older now. Forget that. King David, when the ark came back in, was like literally dancing naked and didn't care what anyone thought. And he said, I'll be even more undignified than this. That's the man that's after God's own heart. Oh, that we would be like that. Just be a people that dare to believe that our God can do anything. That our God wants us to win this city for Jesus. That He wants His church to be a light, to be a place of refuge and safety and strength for this community. That we dare to believe that which is not as if it were. Just have a reckless abandon. I pray that we would go this week, throw caution to the wind, look fear in the face and do it anyway. That, you know what? I am going to tell that person about Jesus because they need the love of Christ in their life. I'm going to do it this week. I'm actually going to talk to my neighbors this week. I'm actually going to talk to that person at work that really annoys me, and I'm going to try to love them, and they're like that for a reason. When the Holy Spirit prompts me this week, I'm going to be obedient. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So as we close this morning, if you would like prayer today, you know, the message I preached last week and this morning is kind of, and hopefully you know me better than to think that this is fishing for compliments. Really, it's not what I'm about to say. It's not what it's about. But what I am saying is, preaching last week and today is quite random for me. It's not how I would normally structure a message or anything like that, but there are some things that have just been burning in my heart that I believe I've had to speak into the life of our church and remind myself of probably more than anybody. But yet, if there's been something that's been shared, you've been encouraged, you've been reminded, and you would like prayer this morning, then we're going to, service is closed. If you're visiting, we'd love for you to hang around and grab a coffee with us and just meet some of the great Compass people. If you are going to stay in this space, though, can I just ask you just to respect what God's doing? If people come for prayer, that's the priority in this moment right now, church, is just allowing God to do whatever it is. So we're not going to pack up chairs or anything like that straight away. We're just going to let God do what he wants to do. So if you would like prayer, or maybe you just want to come and kneel at the altar and just have your own personal time with the Lord, laying some stuff down. But God bless you. Have a great week. Don't forget, we've got Jason next week, and he'll be fantastic. So strongly encourage you to be here and bring some friends, because some of his stories are quite incredible. But be blessed in Jesus' name. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.